I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Michael Klassen joins me now. He is a co-editor of citycaucus.com, launched earlier this year. The website is dedicated to national urban affairs and has been a strident observer of the goings-on at Cambie and 12th and other political issues. We will discuss the provincial election campaign that's just passed us, among other things. Michael Klassen is president of Thinking Cap Incorporated and a former vice chair of Vancouver's Planning Committee. He's contributed to publications such as Discorder and Terminal City. He's also done some broadcasting. He played a part in this provincial election campaign, as he did in the 2004 Wards referendum here in Vancouver. Other than citycaucus.com, you can read more about Michael at michaelklassen.com. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Michael Klassen. Good morning, Mr. Klassen.
Thanks very much, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us. Citycaucus.com. Now, I must admit that I don't visit the website. I read the blog on my email, which
is a great
convenience. My only quarrel with that is that you don't see who writes the pieces on there.
Yeah, I wish I could apologize for it. It's actually a Google product called FeedBurner, and as a result, FeedBurner does not have the author tag into it. I've looked into it. We're trying to figure out if we should just write it in the end of the column and write our names, but it is frustrating, but it's something that we're aware of. We're trying to get that corrected.
It's a great read, though, I must admit, every day. How did the site start?
The genesis of it was quite simple. Daniel gave me a call back in early November, and he said, how would you like to do a blog about urban politics and urban affairs? And we're both, you know, self-described policy wonks, and especially on urban issues. My experience of being on the Planning Commission whet my appetite for just all the challenges that the city and the metro region face in terms of growth and the direction of where it's going. And I've been blogging for many years, but I had somewhat studiously avoided getting into the political fray for a number of reasons, partly because of my own direct interests and the people I was working for. I mean, I was working as a political consultant, and I just couldn't square the fact that I had strong political opinions, but I didn't want to be foisting those upon the people that were following me online. So I talked about other things that I cared about for a lot of years in my writing. So, and then we just decided to kind of hang our shingle up on after we figured out what we wanted to call City Caucus. We just started following stories that were interesting to us, and it caught fire, so to speak.
And you mentioned Daniel Fontaine. He was former chief of staff to Sam Sullivan. Who else contributes to the site?
Eric Mang is our other regular writer. Eric is based in Toronto, Ontario, and Eric, I think, would sort of qualify as writing a little bit more from the left side of the political spectrum than me and Daniel, although neither one of Daniel or I would consider ourselves to be right-wingers, although we get labeled that way quite regularly. And then we've had other guest editorialists and other contributors. It is a group blog, and we would like to continue to make it a place where people who are interested in urban affairs and some of the topics that we discuss there, and if they have a new angle on it or would like to weigh in as well. We had Michael Geller there recently. I mean, anybody who's followed Michael's career understands that there's a guy with a huge amount of passion for how the city is growing. So he took up our offer to come on and write about the subject of how we develop our downtown, whether we put residential in our urban mix downtown in the business district. We've had Aaron Ayrton do a series of interviews with thought leaders. Eva Mistel, Bill Thielman. We even had Tim Lewis write on the blog as well, and maintain a good relationship with Tim. He's somebody who's a very famous agent provocateur in terms of Vancouver politics, and comes from a far left perspective, I guess, from my point of view. But he's a very lovely man, and it was a real pleasure to have him write on City Caucus.
What was your role in the last provincial election campaign?
I worked on one of the Vancouver campaigns and was you know, sort of kept myself fairly busy helping out, seeing that we re-elect a BC Liberal government. So I was a BC Liberal Party worker, and primarily just focused on Vancouver. And I worked in a few of the ridings. I live in Vancouver, Kensington, so I kind of put in some time with Cyrus Lee. I helped out some of the West Side ridings as well. You know, just a guy who likes to get around.
Now, as someone who worked in the campaign, you were obviously, you know, that was your job. You were there every day, it seems. But the public, the voters, they didn't seem to get engaged at all. I mean, we look at voter turnout at, what is it, about 50% or less?
Yeah, it was less than 50%.
Does that frustrate you when you're in a campaign and people just aren't listening to you?
Frustrate would probably be putting it mildly. And it is not that you've really sort of tapped into my nerve right now, because I've just been on the phone with people this morning, last night, over the past several days. I don't think I've talked to more people on one subject in the span of a week than I have about the subject of voter turnout. That particular subject has really been front and center for me since Tuesday's election outcome. And I have been hearing a lot of theories, and I'm sort of a classic contrarian. I don't buy most of the arguments why people aren't voting anymore. I don't think it has to do with the campaign being boring or people just not being engaged. I just think people don't care anymore. Full stop. I've been following. You know, it's not something that I'm planning to do some more research on. In fact, I wrote an editorial Friday afternoon, again, sort of my argument dispelling the myth that, the media had something to do with the voter outcome, and whether, more positive news for the NDP might have helped to get them elected. I think that the real subject is we're seeing a demographic shift. We're seeing young people just not caring about their community, about the electoral system. I argued in the story I wrote on Friday afternoon, which was I think the title was NDP. Or big media bogeyman seen as reason for NDP loss and low voter turnout. I don't think you could. I think that you could have made the ability to vote 10 times easier than it was in this election, and I think it was extremely easy to vote. I mean, there were 4 days of advance voting, 8 hours a day. I'm sorry, 8 hours, 12 hours a day. So there were five full days where you could have gone and voted, and people made the choice not to bother. And we saw, I think, I'll have to check my numbers on this, but we saw a 10% drop between 2005 and 2009. I think we had 58% voter turnout, and if I'm not mistaken, we had something like 48%. And I don't chalk that up to a boring campaign and all the other stories that have been sort of spun out there. This is a pure case of a group of people who are making the decision not to be involved, not to participate in the process. And if you want to go even further, STV, and I think it could be reasonably argued, was the whole citizens' assembly that Premier Campbell set up. The history of that is an interesting one. I think that it began with somebody like Gordon Gibson, former head of the Liberal Party of BC, which has preceded the BC Liberal Party. I know the names are a little confusing. And Gordon Gibson, who I think continues to write for, I think, the Globe and Mail, was somebody who felt very strongly that we needed to change our system, our electoral system, to make it more representative. And his friend, Rafe Mayer, when Rafe was much more in the public eye than he is now, made this a very important part of his rhetoric. When he was on air, he talked about how the backbench of our parliamentary system had been kind of reduced to clapping seals, was the analogy he used. So I guess there has to be a certain amount of credit has to go to Gordon Campbell for getting this nonpartisan citizens assembly together and creating an opportunity for members of the public to come together without the taint of politics and figuring out a new way of getting people to vote. So fast forward to, you know, last Tuesday, and we had a vote that was very resoundingly defeated. I think that whole exercise was really a response to the very scary change of events when it comes to voter turnout. Now, I may be wrong about that, but I think that the reason that we are worried about our electoral system is because so few people seem to be participating in it.
So how do we get people to care?
Well, I started to scratch the surface in that in my editorial on Friday. I've got a couple of ideas, and now I was reading over the weekend about the scandal of the politicians and their expense accounts in the UK.
Right.
So, you know, it's a hilarious story. I mean, it's tragic. Now, I'm thinking, I wrote on Friday that the media have spent a generation disparaging people in public life. I think that if you are, you know, if you are a politician, or if you're somebody who's decided, I don't want to do X, I'm going to do Y, and that Y means I'm going to go and run for elected office, which is a hell of a tough job for a person to come out of nowhere and become elected, and then to sort of disconnect yourself from, you know, usually with time with your family or community and go trudging off to Victoria or Ottawa or whatever. And then to be regularly pilloried in the media by many cases, a lot of half-wits, that's not a whole lot of fun. I mean, that's not my definition of a good time.
It's not appealing, no.
So I said to myself, you know, here we are, we've got this job that has really has become kind of almost a reviled profession, our political figures, our political leaders. And I don't know if there's any, I don't think there's anything you can do about that. I think that you can demand that people be more civil in their discussion, but for the most part, most people are going to say whatever they want to say about you, and there's nothing much you can do about it. But I think it's important. I think Obama, if there's anything, one of the things I took away from Obama's campaign is that he really stressed that he did not want to engage in negative politics. He did not want to lower the dialogue to name calling and flinging mud. And maybe this is my partisanship showing through, but that's the same thing I saw Gordon Campbell do and the BC Liberals try to do. I mean, sure, there were, you know, third-party groups and, you know, those phony, conversations that the two women had on the radio ad saying, oh, the NDP, this, that, and the other thing. But Gordon Campbell's ad campaign was, here's my ideas, and he said, you know, it was like the armchair, you know, sitting in front of the fireplace talking about what he wants to do if he governs. And so that was a complete different tone to what the NDP did, which was to run ads where they wouldn't even put their own logo on them, that were disparaging and making personal attacks. So I think that the sort of setting the tone a little bit in a more friendly way or a more civil discussion is important. And we said that in City Caucus, and I realize City Caucus, we're hard-hitting and we have fun, but we don't attack people on a personal level. I mean, we've written a lot of stories. I think we've written, posted something like 1,500 stories on there since last December. So I have to go back and see if we were ever too cruel. I'm sure there are days that we probably posted something that was a little hard. But we don't disparage people in the way that, like, a negative ad campaign would. And so that's one thing. So the other thing is, I think we need to have people, I think young people need to learn something in their school setting. How do you do this? I have a little girl who's in elementary school. And between the time that she spends at school and the time she spends in out-of-school care, I know that there's a high degree of learning around citizenship. They have kind of a pay-it-forward policy with the kids, where they teach them that they have advantages that others don't, and it's important to give of themselves, whether it be of their time, of their ideas, or their or even, you know, the generosity of fundraising, or even raising money for through cookies or whatever. And so that to me is a really good sign. I think these kids will become a little bit more engaged. But how they get the opportunity to learn about electoral politics is beyond me, because it seemed to me that if you really look at the decline of voter turnout, it seems to correspond with about the early 80s, maybe the mid 80s, and in into the 90s. So there's a very clear demographic shift in those who want to vote and those who don't want to vote. I've been voting in every election since I was 18 years old. I was 18 years old in 1980, so you can sort of do the math. I'm in my mid 40s now, and I've voted in every opportunity I've had, and I tell you, you'd have to chain me not to get me into a voting booth. I think it's the most important right we have. That is not a widely held view of the world today. I've asked people about whether they would be willing to volunteer on a campaign, and quite often the reaction I get is, "What's in it for me?" And I ask them if they plan to vote, and the response I get is, "I don't have time," or "I'm too busy," or "Sorry, I was, immersed in going to a movie," or something like that, or I just don't care," is what they're saying to us. So I think we need to really look at ways of engendering an interest in our civil society, and that's a huge challenge. And it's not one that British Columbia alone is facing. It's happening all across the Western world. In my piece that I wrote on Friday, I talked about how in India, when I actually started Googling voter turnout, the first story I got was from the recent Indian national elections, which I think are still ongoing. I mean, you've got more than half a billion people there trying to vote, so it takes a few days to get that process complete. But there's a lot of hand-wringing over about low voter turnout. And if there's anything that's clear to me about India now, is that it's becoming increasingly affluent, especially in the cities. And I believe that affluence is having an effect on people's interest in citizenship. There's no easy answer. But if I look at it, I go, A, you've got this public officials who are being run down in the media. So the reputation of people in public life and of politicians is about as low as it can be right now. All the surveys you see say that people trust they trust a bank robber more than do a politician or a lawyer or whatever. It's really terrible. And then you've got the other side of it, where people don't understand their place in the system. They don't understand the importance of being at least a part of a civil society. And so, as I put it in the story, I said, we need to teach young people that they're not just consumers, but they're citizens as well.
You know, what you've just talked about, Michael, is very important. We'll continue following this and reading you, because, this is something that also concerns me. I appreciate your time today, and we'll continue reading citycaucus.com and michaelclassen.com.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
You're very welcome. Co-editor of citycaucus.com, Michael Klassen on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.